It's time
for the Headlocks Hot Seat with Dara O'Connor. From headlockstoheadlines.com.
You are listening to From Headlocks to Headlines Radio here on Belfield FM, the Headlocks Hot Seat. Now, of course, last year we had this segment under a different name, so I thought, being, you know, a start of a new decade, we'd repackage things and spice things up a little bit. Now, on the line, I am still joined by Evan O'Brien, Headlocks from Headlines owner. Are you there, Evan?
Hi-de-ho.
And it is my pleasure to introduce onto the show, and the first time on Irish radio, WrestleView columnist, Reality from Ringside, and his radio show, weekly radio show on the WrestleView Radio Network, Reality from Ringside Radio, the one, the only, Mr. Doug Lackey. Are you there, Lackey?
I'm here. How you guys doing?
Cool. Or as Ric Flair would say,
Big Bad Doug.
Oh, absolutely. There's no other one. It's just me.
No, there's just you, man. And as I say, you know, you did put out the offer on the Friday night, on the Friday Fishbowl on the WrestleView Radio Network, and yeah, I was happy to oblige. So you're very welcome on Irish Radio. It's a pleasure.
The pleasure is someone's. I don't want to get into a debate on whose it is, but believe me, I have no problem extending out the olive branch. It's a very long branch, but I have no problem extending it out. I mean, I'm very open-minded. I think a lot of other people should be open-minded as well. And I love to bring my very stupid opinions to every continent that I can. If there are some in Antarctica, I'll go ahead and try. But apart from that, I'm happy to be here.
Very
and
cool.
And talk about anything.
Well, you know, the great thing about the Headlocks Hot Seat is you get to decide what we're talking about. As somebody, now, I know you don't like the term listening into your show of the wrestling, quote, media. However,
right,
that's the best term we got now, Doug. So, as a member of that, are we going to have a bit of Douglas early on in the segment?
Oh, he'll show up from time to time. It just depends on what's going to be talked about. And believe me, there's lots we can talk about. That'll probably unleash him. So, and I don't know if it would be like a different accent since I'm on Irish radio. I don't know if it'll come in, you know, more higher pitched or lower pitched, or how the phonics will be. But I hope that everyone will be able to understand in some way, shape, or form.
Don't worry, we're used to the accent, Doug. It's okay. You are, of course, coming from the home of professional wrestling, the spiritual center of professional wrestling. Enlighten our dear listeners where you're from, Doug.
I am from Charlotte, North Carolina, the capital of professional wrestling, and don't let anyone else tell you otherwise.
Most would say, you know, what about the Hearts, or, you know, what about the home of the WWE, or, you know, there's so many different places, Tennessee, Nashville, just putting out there, but
Tennessee, Nashville, Atlanta, yeah.
So, Doug, what did you want to talk about? And, you know, I'll give, the floor is yours, I'll give you this opportunity to talk about whatever you want to, and then Evan and myself will, you know, join in with our contribution. So,
I think probably, I want to say the one thing that's probably on my mind and happened Monday night was John Cena kind of went off the cuff a little bit, didn't he?
With his promo?
Well, yeah, on his promo and everything. I mean, let's go and first be honest. It was one of John Cena's best promos he's had on Raw in quite a long time, combining the comedy and the very large words that anyone would laugh at. Combining large words and funny ha-ha with CM Punk, I'm going to come get you, sucker, type speak. But Cena breaking out the A double dollar sign word, and suddenly all of internet world going nuts. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? John Cena saying he's fined over the Twitter, trying to, you know, backtrack a little bit and saying that he's been fined. And again, internet worlds and fanboys worlds loving WWE attitudes going, hey, he got me fined. What's going on? Attitude Era is back. I want it back. No, no, it's not dead. It's always been here. You know, but it just amazes me that I guess my question to you guys, and I don't know how, you know, nationality would play into any of this. I don't even know if his word that he said is considered a curse word where you're from, because we can say bloody here all the time, but I don't know.
No, that's not. But that's not really a curse word here.
I think what us Irish would say was arse more than likely.
Oh, you know, okay.
Yeah.
So instead of ASS, it's like AIRS.
Hey, kiss me arse, dog.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah, that's more what you'd get over here. And because we are, you know, on a terrestrial radio station now we can't actually say that word.
Oh, ourselves. Dang. Okay.
Yeah. Like, we have to kind of watch the language here, unfortunately, and I'll get in trouble.
Sorry, so. Okay. So,
No, spelling it out's okay, Doug. Spelling it out is okay, but we can't say it. You know, the first rule of radio they told me when I started was, there's certain words you can't say and certain words you can say, and, you know, steer away. I think there's five.
So we cannot make that reference to that piece of the anatomy?
No.
Oh, okay. Wow. So, he said to CM Punk, I'm going to kick your poop chute. Or I am going to hurt very much the part that you sit upon.
Yes.
You know, stuff like that.
Stuff like that.
And my question to you guys is, I mean, how did you react to that when he said that word?
Evan, you first, Aaron.
I mean, I really don't get the big deal. This was on American television close to 11 o'clock at night, so I wouldn't feel that there was a big load of sensitivity towards the issue. And I don't know how you feel about this, Dara, but I took no notice of it.
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't really see the big deal. Like, it fit into the context of what he was saying. We've heard this word before, of course, you know, since they went PG, they've toned down a lot, but there's a hell of a lot of worse things he could have said. You know, we've heard before in wrestling matches and promos, you know, profanities all the way. Sure, over in TNA, it's common practice. So I think him getting fined was a bit ridiculous because, as you said, Doug, it was probably one of his best promos to date. It was, you know, it mixed the comedy element with the serious elements. So
oh, sure.
People getting upset about it in the internets and the interwebs is ridiculous. And people getting upset, the top brass at WWE getting upset about it is even more ridiculous.
Well, I would think that anyone actually taking that seriously, that he actually got fined, you know, taking that seriously at all, I think would put into question anyone's intelligence, for one thing.
Well,
because if people were fined for profanities in the WWE when whatever marketing philosophy was instituted, we would have a lot of broke people.
Exactly.
And we have a lot of people not appearing on television.
Exactly.
Also,
that's my point, Doug. The false information, and you know, you've often referred to WWE as the propagators of propaganda.
Yeah.
And a lot of this has got to do with WWE's public image. They're obviously working the internet here, but they're probably working their critics.
Oh, sure. I mean, well, it is their image that they're trying to, you know, I don't want to say trying to clean up. They have cleaned up. Let's go ahead and say that. There's no more, you know, minds that they have to sway. We'll go ahead and put it that way. We see a lot more families in the crowds now than we see 20-something-year-old virgins. Okay. So let's say they've cleaned up their image quite well. It's just what just fascinates me and has always fascinated me is ever since becoming a part of this quote-unquote wrestling media and internet wrestling community, how a lot of people with their commentary and analysis really, really, really believe that their comments and opinions are considered the majority of opinions in amongst all professional wrestling fans. A lot of people who give out opinions and analysis and punditry and all kinds of stuff do not understand what their place is in this world. I know what my place is in this world. No one pays attention to me. I know the WWE is not listening to me and reading the comments I make on Twitter or read my columns or anything like that. And so I never take anything too seriously. But there are a lot of people who make some comments and will take some things way too seriously. A good example would be the DVD released not long ago of the top 50 greatest superstars in the WWE. Whole place going bonkers over the superstars that were picked. Gorgeous George, not even in the top five. Where's Ric Flair? You know, stuff like that. And it's, I don't know what it is about people on the internet that make comments or analysis or anything. And sometimes I want to say be a little over, a little too overcritical, a little over analytical, making a lot of assumptions when it's not really true, you know. I mean, that's how it is when I say about the WWE being propagators of propaganda. Taking stuff way too seriously, what Cena says about being fined, about him saying a bad word, everyone going bonkers. And everyone just need to lighten up. And I don't know, I guess that's one question I have for you guys is, when you attend a live wrestling show in Ireland, and I would love to visit overseas, especially England or Ireland or anywhere around that area, to where, how does the crowd conduct themselves during a live show as compared to the many television shows that you see over the States? I mean, can you really see or detect any kind of real differences between you and the crowd and, say, witnessing an American crowd at all?
Sure. Of course you can. Evan, do you want to go first on this and then I'll come in? Or
I mean, like, the only professional wrestling that I have witnessed in person would be an indie show that was here in Mitchelstown. But I've often attended live Raw shows in Dublin. And, I mean, you don't get a lot of that. You get mostly either males who pretend they know everything or children who just want to cheer it on. And the two times that I've been to Dublin to witness professional wrestling live would have been, I would have been mostly surrounded by children who just wanted to cheer Rey Mysterio or John Cena or get their parents to buy, you know, the merchandise. So I really do not, in contrast to an American crowd, I would say it's much more tame. I mean, you don't get the diehard people with the opinion that they need to be heard. Do you know what I'm saying?
Unfortunately, Evan, you haven't been to a TNA show over here.
Well, I would rather not experience that.
I have a fair amount to say on this issue, and Doug and Douglas, you guys are going to love this because it's something. I've been to several house shows over here, and as Evan said correctly, the majority of the crowd are, you know, children who are there with the parents. You know, they buy the T-shirts, they cheer on Cena and Mysterio, even Kane. Kane got one of the biggest pops I ever heard over here.
Huh.
It was strange. It really was bizarre. But there's really not many smarks there who kind of sit there and go, oh, well, I know this, and I'm going to boo you, and I don't like you, John Cena, and then give out to the children. There's not that many people there who do that. And the same, I was recently over, remember when Raw and SmackDown went over to Manchester? I was in attendance for that as well.
Oh, nice.
It was fantastic. That's probably one of the best crowds I've seen, not just because I was there, but on TV it came off fantastically well.
Mm-hmm.
There was a hint of that over there, because there are several shows and stuff and several people who really want to get their opinions heard and don't understand that it's a TV show and take it far too seriously. Particularly when guys like Drew McIntyre and stuff come out. They're like, why isn't he being pushed? Why is this match only going on so long? Why isn't he on SmackDown? Blah, 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 blah. But getting back to the TNA issue, when you go to a TNA show here, people think ECW has come back. I kid you not.
Well, of course.
They book it in a manner that they rent out, you know, an air equivalent of a bingo hall, which is a GAA hall, or, you know, the National Stadium, which holds, it's a boxing arena basically, but arena is a very loose term for what it actually is. It only holds a couple of, you know, maybe two.
Would you call it like an athletics center?
It's more like a high school gym.
Okay, there we go. That sounds good.
So imagine that packed full of people. So you really get the indie feel when you're there.
So it almost sounds like because the show that I went to just outside of Charlotte, last October for a TNA house show. Believe me, I don't know why. The tickets are cheap. I was bored. I had to have something to do. So I go to this. It was held in a, let me see. You know how they have like carnival fairgrounds? Well, this was held inside an arena where they would do horse shows. Like they would show off ponies and horses, but only half of the arena was used.
Oh,
and so,
really?
Yeah, it was just a very, very odd arena to be in. And I still love the figures that came out from TNA saying that there were over 1,000 in attendance when I've got the pictures to prove there were maybe only 200.
Well, here's the thing. When TNA actually did get a bit too cocky over here, because I'm not sure if you know this or not. You probably do, given you're the stats man. But TNA has a very big market over here. Their drawing power is quite big, as you know, before this TV show got pulled and the channel got pulled. We used to have it on Bravo over here, and it used to be shown on Saturday nights. And, you know, that got very, very decent ratings, very good ratings. It's actually more people would watch that than SmackDown, believe it or not, on a weekly basis. So when you come over here...
No, go ahead.
And when you'd come over here, you know, you get a very good turnout, but they moved out of this national stadium to the O2 Arena, which actually is, you know, something more like a real arena, like a sports
stadium.
Yeah,
I want to say the O2, that sounds like a pretty decent arena. I think that name's familiar to me. I've heard that with UFC fights and stuff like that.
Yes, yeah. Actually, it was the same arena at the UFC 93, yeah, was held.
Yeah.
So you get kind of a scale of how big it was.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the arena, if not, was curtained off. It was nowhere near sold out. It was a complete disaster financially for these guys. But and now they're coming back at the end of the month to the National Stadium. So, you know, they're back where they started, and this time they have no TV show. However, when you go to these shows, you do get the crowd. You get the oh my gods and the interwebs, and everybody goes, listen to me. He's going to be here. He's not going to be here. Did you hear what Russo posted? Did you hear what Bischoff said? You know, all this kind of BS that nobody really cares about. And they don't watch the show. They just will talk about analyzing, doing running commentary of the matches. I've seen it happen.
What's really funny, and I never really mentioned this on the post show we did for Bound for Glory last year, that I happened to attend live. Again, I had to get rid of vacation hours from work, or else I was going to lose them at the end of the year. And I figured, you know what? I'm a glutton for punishment. And I have got to be, I got to go to the belly of the beast. Okay, I make fun of it all the time. I stereotype everyone. I have got to see this in person. So go to Bound for Glory. And I'm in the crowd and everything. And this is before the card started. And I'll give them props. The stage looks good. Stage looks pretty cool. It looks like they have everything set up. Half the one side of the arena, the hard camera side behind it, is taped off. So a good chunk of the arena is not being used. Sitting around me, of course, I've got Meth Girl behind me.
The infamous, you know, Meth Girl.
Yeah, Meth Girl, everyone. I think she's like a mascot of ours now on the website. But around me, I was hearing conversation, and I would just kind of answer, you know, like, well, this is happening or this isn't happening. What was so funny is that this is a TNA show. The TNA WrestleMania is what it's considered. There were people who didn't know that Hulk Hogan had back surgery. And
really?
They had shown it on TV earlier that week. There were people who didn't know what the matches were. There were people who didn't know that even Hulk Hogan was part of TNA.
No way.
Or even Eric Bischoff was part of TNA. Okay, I'm serious. It is ironic that we talk about TNA being... such a, it attracts the internet crowd so well, that it attracts those people who know everything, that TNA is trying to reach out to this niche crowd that knows the business and the boys in the back. And oh my God, Rob Van Dam's music is so fucking awesome. But when they reach out to them, they are coincidentally when they're doing a live show and people are going to pay to go to the show, they're going to have people in this crowd that don't know what's going on, the wrestling fans. The wrestling fans that don't go to wrestling news sites. The wrestling fans that, you know, are not up with everything that's going on in the world. It's amazing to me. And again, I just wonder about TNA. What kind of crowd are they actually trying to reach out to? And when they say the kind of crowd or even the people who defend TNA, what they are trying to reach out to, how often they fail at it.
Well,
No, go ahead.
I would say, as somebody who was at one point a TNA supporter, you know, I do a show over here as a TNA. You're going to love this. As a TNA correspondent for World Wrestling Revolution, I know. It used to be okay, but recently, last Friday, as the preview of that disaster of a pay-per-view they had last Sunday, all I said was, they're having a pay-per-view. I don't care about it. Nobody cares about it. Let's move on, please.
Well said.
So, as somebody who used to defend TNA, I am so sick of this product right now. I don't care. It's just there. Stuff happens. Angles make no sense. It's just a complete joke. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's just a complete joke. But I find that really, really shocking that at their, quote, WrestleMania, people didn't even know the matches.
Oh, yeah, they didn't. No, seriously, they didn't even know that Hulk Hogan had back surgery. I am very, very serious.
They plugged that for weeks on end.
Yeah.
They showed it on it. They dedicated segment after segment towards this on Impact. That is shocking. Like,
yeah, I'm very serious. I'm not saying this just to make fun of the company or make fun of the fans. I mean,
no,
but the weird thing is that you hear this and see this in every wrestling event you go to where you have this feeling of that you know a lot, but the people around you don't, and you got to try to keep that in mind when you go to these shows. Okay, but what shocks me the most again about TNA is that they're reaching out to that crowd that knows everything, but apparently you're getting little sprinkles of humanity here and there that don't know everything and that are actually the best wrestling fans to get, because they're the ones that are blissfully ignorant is what I call them.
Yeah.
And because that's what I was. I mean, and all of us were. We were blissfully ignorant wrestling fans that we just loved the shows. We didn't have to know that Karen Angle is now Karen Jarrett. We did not have to know about we never even know who the hell Vince Russo was. We didn't know what his name was. We know who Vince McMahon is, but we don't know who Vince Russo is. You know, it's just little things like that that I wish we could get back to. WWE is slowly reverting back to that area if it weren't for the Facebook and the Twitter. Okay. Because right now I'm having a blast with the Twitter. But TNA, I mean, geez, they're just all over the place. And I've gotten to the point now to where with them, I can't write a column about them. I seriously can't. Because it drives me to remember what they've done. And my therapist has worked long hours with me. And I don't want to ruin the hard work that she's put in and the money that I've gave her for this hard work. But also, I'm sure, and I'd love to plug this right now, everyone who's listening, if you're going to become a WrestleView subscriber, $5 a month, listen to our TNA pay-per-view recaps. Seriously. You will never hear a great drunken recap like what I do.
Doug, because infamous drunken recaps.
I cannot watch TNA without drinking heavily. I can't
blame you. Now, I'm straight edge, so I don't drink. So it makes it a hell of a lot worse, a lot harder to watch the shows.
Yeah, man, I was about now. Evan, tell me.
I would argue, Dara, that it makes it easier to watch the shows because you have more self awareness to actually grab the remote and turn it off. A drunk person couldn't do that.
Good point.
Now, yeah. I hope you don't mind me switching gears here, but Doug, tell the listeners exactly what the phenomenon known as Hail Kozlov is for people.
The Hail Kozlov. Oh, okay.
Might not be in the know.
Okay, well, let me see. I'm trying to think of the best ways to describe this. this is when I first started with WrestleView as a columnist, before I even had a podcast or anything like that. Every show on Monday and Thursday for WrestleView Radio, we have our chat room. And in the chat room, we're able to post YouTube videos. And there will be one time, you know, some of us in the chat room will go bonkers and post some really, really weird videos. Okay, some wrestling related, some television related, some whatever the hell they might be related. Basically, what happened with me was, and I'm sending it to you right now, you can play it in the background if you want to. I found this YouTube video. I'm an anime fan. And I saw this video of the Soviet national anthem being played in the background of these Japanese girls giving, like, salutes. And I thought it was hilarious. And I tried to think of the best way that I could throw this into a wrestling chat room is yelling, "Hail Kozlov," and threw the video in there. Little did I know that this motto and this video meshed together would start a tidal wave of emotion of communist spirit. And I could not have asked for anything less. Hail Kozlov is a phenomenon. It is something that I will not let go away. How do I feel about Kozlov myself? I think he's the greatest wrestler ever. I mean, seriously, seeing a Kozlov headbutt should immediately give you a smile on your face. When you see him do a Gerard Butler 300 kick to someone's chest, oh, you should just immediately curl up in a fetal position of happy.
Don't get any arguments from me.
Were you?
I mean, Santino is great, but Kozlov is better.
Were you upset to see that he got attacked before his match on Raw?
Oh, absolutely not. Because number one, he's on television, so he's getting recognized. And number two, he's still a champion.
This is true. I'm getting paid.
Yeah, he's getting paid. He's showing up. So what if he gets kicked? I mean, shoot, he was getting ganged up by 5-6 people. That's okay. I'm not going to go, oh, they aren't being pushed. Well, he's still a champion, you know. I gotta see more tag team competitions, the belts, the prestige. Oh, they're not gonna find any work. No, I'm not worried about it at all. I mean, tag team wrestling, let's be honest now. I would really do want to bring this up. Tag team wrestling, if people are going to be harping about a tag team division being dead, first off, there's no such thing as a division. Okay, I don't think there are any records being met. I don't think there's going to be a postseason. Or there's going to be a tournament or a finals involving tag teams of any kind. Unless don't be getting into cohesion of teams in that, you know, there's no tag teams because people don't wear the same stuff. Or they aren't called the Usos or the Steiner Brothers or Fabulous Freebirds. There's no tag teams. Stop it. There's no more of that. And don't be getting into this that TNA has better tag team wrestling than WWE. Name all the tag teams that are in TNA.
No, you won't get any argument off me on that, Doug. Continue.
Yeah. I mean, there's only about, what, 3 or 4 tag teams in TNA? How many can you name in the WWE? I can name you the same number right off the top of my head, maybe more. But don't be getting to this that there's more or better or the competition that you shouldn't even mention that word in professional wrestling, that there's better tag team wrestling in TNA than there is in the WWE. There is no such thing of either one of those, okay? WWE's tag team is to get people on television and try to push stories and characters. TNA's, they're just there. They're doing crap. I mean, I don't want to relive Motor City Machine Gymnasts against Beer Money for like the 27th time in the past year and a half. Man.
And
but
it's good that you
that's just me.
I know. And with that said, I'm going to give you an easy ball here.
Okay.
An easy. Which tag team is the worst tag team in professional wrestling, in your opinion? I know it's really easy, but go ahead.
No, no. I'll tell you the truth. It is harder than you think.
It's the Briscoes, isn't it?
Well, I got to be honest. I don't watch Ring of Honor. I have no idea what happens in Ring of Honor. I think I've only watched one of their shows. I haven't watched any of their pay-per-views. I can't make any arguments about Ring of Honor, so I'm not going to, you know. I mean, that's just fair being fair.
Yeah, of course.
But it sounds like I need to look up some matches. But I got to say,
I was only using that as a joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen Ring of Honor either. But actually, if I were... because I was listening to a podcast recently, and I heard one of the hosts say that the Briscoes had the greatest match of all time in Ring of Honor. And my immediate thought was, this guy likes spotty wrestling. He clearly doesn't understand what pro wrestling is, that you are actually supposed to get the audience into your match and not just perform spots randomly for no reason. You're actually supposed to emote as a professional wrestler, and that's what makes it so entertaining. So, I'm sorry for sidetracking you, but continue on.
No, you're okay. You're okay. It's just I'm with you right there, too. You know, if you want to see moves, watch gymnastics. Watch, you know, synchronized swimming. You know, that if that's what you want, watch that.
The internet's are exploding, Doug, at that comment.
Oh, I know. Just pop in your video game. You want moves? You got every single move you would ever want to see on your SmackDown versus Raw. You know, I got to see double powerbomb into table and guys still kip up. If you want that, play your damn video game. Okay? But professional wrestlers, and it's weird, they're actors. They are actors more than they are whatever the hell else is supposed to do a Hurricane Rana. Someone find me the job title that involves a Hurricane Rana but is not called a professional wrestler. Since wrestling involves acting, what else would you call them? I can only think of gymnast. I can only think of gymnast or trampolinist. But believe me, if you've ever felt a mat, you know that's not a trampoline. But worst tag team ever is a toss-up between Generation Me and the Motor City Machine Gymnasts. And it is so tough for me to pick between the two. I think I'm going to have to go with Generation Me.
Why?
The only reason I have to is because every time I think of them, I'm imagining them backflipping off of a turnbuckle for no reason whatsoever. Yeah. I mean, seriously, like Matrix walking, parkouring John Morrison, doing stuff off of turnbuckles for no reason whatsoever. For nothing. Not even to attack someone or defend against anything. Just doing stuff. And again, I'm sitting there going like, man, what happened? Did like someone press L2 or something? Why'd they do that? I mean, it's almost like, you know, how do I want to put this? You know, buying that can of energy soda when you've already had 6 cups of coffee. There's no point. You're just doing it just to do it. It makes no – all their stuff makes no sense to me, especially with what they are now. I mean, I guess even a bigger question, and I guess I'll pose it to you, and you brought up the Briscoes and someone saying it was the greatest match of all time. How many greatest matches of all time do you think you've seen?
I mean, honestly, I would never, ever call a match the greatest match of all time because it's always going to be open to debate. I mean, like if you go on a forum and post that, I saw this match, it's the greatest match of all time, you literally have 20 people trying to make their voices heard saying, no, I disagree, I think this was good. So I don't think you could ever call any one particular match the greatest match of all time. But if I were to make a list, it would be far too long, and I could not whittle it down. So, I mean, people are always going to have their opinions on what's the greatest match of all time, but you need to be educated on the function of professional wrestling going back through the years. I mean, that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, here's the thing.
I guess, yeah, go ahead.
Just getting in on that point, the greatest match of all time, I wouldn't phrase it like that. I'd never phrase it like that. Rather, I'd say my favorite match, or the match I most enjoyed was.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because it's personal opinion. You're right. You have to be educated enough to realize wrestling is a soap opera with punching. That's what wrestling is. It's a show. You know, you have these people coming off, you know, I hate you, you hate me, we're going to go, you know, pretend fight in the ring.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And if you were engaged with the storylines up to it and their execution in the ring, that makes it a good match. Now, whatever one you enjoyed, in particular, then to you, that's the greatest match of all time. But to just force your opinion on somebody, that's... Who gives you the right? Who gives anyone that right to just, you know, force the opinion. This is the way I want to, and I have my own internet show, and I have my own column, blah, 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 blah. You know, that doesn't give you the right either, because we're all entitled to our opinion. Wouldn't you agree, Doug?
Oh, I remember every single interview The Rock ever gave. I know all of his catchphrases. I'm the master of internets.
Yeah, exactly. I know what you're talking about.
And you brought up the point as well that a couple of times that the internet has in fact ruined professional wrestling. And that's what I was alluding to. Because there are people out there who believe this stuff, who actually have such a delusional opinion that their word is gospel.
Let me see. I truly believe, and I think everyone needs to understand this, and I'm glad you guys do. The internet is the worst thing to ever happen to professional wrestling. It really is. I don't want to hear any arguments about, well, who would have known about independent wrestling? Well, be quiet. People can still find out about independent wrestling without the interwebs. There's flyers. There's street teams. There's word of mouth. So there's public access television. Don't go with that. Oh, I never would have found out about this wrestler. Well, by word of mouth, by flyers, and by public access television, you would know about them.
This is true. What did people do before the internet? So, you know?
The internet, basically, everyone really likes it just because it gives them that inside information. But what they don't realize is that that inside information is really taken away from the most entertaining part of professional wrestling. And that is being, again, blissfully ignorant. Okay? You're supposed to suspend your disbelief. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to enter this arena and suddenly your mind leaves your body. As far as you know, gravity does not exist. Okay? You are now in this world where, you know, men in underwear is actually considered regular attire. Everyone is supposed to be at least 250 pounds, and they can beat the crap out of each other, and yet they will travel to the next town and do it all over again. You know, it's that kind of arena and that kind of area of disbelief you must get rid of, and the internet, you know, just obliterates it altogether. It's trying to make it seem too realistic. It lets us know about what's going on behind the curtain when we should never know what's going on behind the curtain. And let's be perfectly frank, if there were no internet, we would not be doing this, and we might be enjoying the shows a little more, even though I wouldn't get to know you two guys or anything. So, yeah, I guess the internet is okay.
This is true. There are good and bad points to everything. And, of course, you know, if there was no internet, we would... Either one of us wouldn't have a radio show, we wouldn't have a column, there would be no Rest of You, there would be no From Headlock to Headlines.com, you know, and we wouldn't all get to know each other. But there is that bad side that you mentioned as well, like guys that go, this is a sport, and oh my god, like, look what they're doing, and they're destroying wrestling, and it's the belts and the prestige and stuff. Exactly. All that ridiculous kind of stuff that people just take far too seriously. On the point, here's another thing as well that people need to remember about professional wrestling. And one thing that always struck me as strange, even as a child watching it, when people would go on to, you know, do stuff out on the street, or when the cops would be called or something, because I grew up during the Attitude Era, and when Stone Cold Steve Austin would be arrested or whatever, he would show up the next week with no cops. Like, there was no realistic, you know, scenario for what was going on. Like, think about it. You go out there and attack somebody, you're going to go to jail.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be tied up in court for a while. Yeah, these can go in and do whatever they want, and it's all good. Like, it's obviously a show. You know, what sport allows you to beat a man's brain in with a steel chair and then throw him through a glass-covered table?
I can't imagine how a lot of professional wrestling fans would watch, say, like, let me see. I'm trying to think of some good, like hockey. You know, if they watch hockey, a fight breaks out. Guy's put in a penalty box. I'm sure a pro wrestling fan would be looking at that going, why in the hell is he put in the box? I mean, that's regular stuff, right?
This isn't TNA. There's no belt hanging above the ring. We don't need, no one pinned anybody.
You know? I mean, I guess, well, I really think that I want to say getting deeper into professional wrestling fan mentality with the internet involved, but also the blissful ignorance that's missing. You really see differences in professional wrestling fans, and I bring this up a lot on all venues with WrestleView, my column and the podcast and everything, is that you see real differences between wrestling fans when it comes to how they were introduced to professional wrestling. It's not as much how old they are, because let's be honest, there are probably some very mature 13-year-old professional wrestling fans out there and very immature 40-something or 50-something professional wrestling fans. But when it comes to the differences between the said fans, it's all about how they were introduced to professional wrestling that molds them into what they think that it is or how that it should be. And it's not as much, you know, what they saw when they saw it. It's not all about Attitude Era. It's not all about 80s era WWF with every wrestler having a occupational gimmick. It is not about the WCW where you're broken into the business and you figure out that Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were actually from another company. And it's also not about John Cena, WWE PG. It's about how wrestling fans were introduced to the entertainment form. Like, I want to say, for me, I was introduced through it through my family. My father was a professional wrestling fan. I was very young, maybe 5 or 6 years old. I was walking downstairs, couldn't get to sleep because my father was laughing watching Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon. And he just picked me up, set me on his lap, and I was immediately entranced. I mean, sure, I'm that young. I don't know what the hell they were saying. I couldn't make out any of their jokes, but my father was laughing. And because I wanted to know why he was laughing and I wanted to enjoy professional wrestling, that's why I became a wrestling fan.
I think a lot
was
of
to
people,
have fun with him.
Exactly. I think a lot of people have a similar story, or at least a lot of people that remained wrestling fans after the, you know, quote, peak period of the WWE and WCW and all this kind of stuff. Because the casual fans who joined, who stumbled upon the product, have since left wrestling altogether. Like, they have no interest in it or have migrated over to other forms of, you know, athletic entertainment or whatever, or sport like the UFC.
Sure.
So, you know, I have a similar story as well about how I got into professional wrestling. My cousins and all were very into professional wrestling. When I was younger, they introduced me to it. And I got hooked into it. And, you know, you want to be, you know, you want the people you look up to, you want to, like, see what's this thing that they're watching, what's all this cool thing, so you get hooked onto it, you know.
Yeah,
so I can totally relate to that story, Doug, and it's sad that when people lose sight of that innocence, that kind of childhood innocence, kayfabe is the word that is often thrown around a lot, and the death of kayfabe is something that, it was kind of cool because you got the reality stuff, and, you know, it was like, all right, this is interesting for a while, but the damage that the death of kayfabe did, we're still feeling it today. And I think that's where bringing it back to the internet, that's what people seem to forget. When the Evan, go ahead.
All right, you go. But, I mean, Dara, sometimes I think you can kind of blame it on creative, because I literally have not felt excitement for a pro wrestling card since WrestleMania 26. I mean, the day of WrestleMania 26, I was literally having a heart attack about what surrounding what I was about to see that night. I mean, I no joke. Like, I was literally almost having a heart attack. I was so excited about it. I mean, like, you will not, like, I was. It only matches up to little Jimmy waiting Santa Claus's visit. It was literally. I was literally that excited, and I mean, if they can recapture that, I think they can be on the right track. But I do try to separate myself when I'm watching professional wrestling. And I think people, if they do tend to find that, if they are a part of the IWC, they need to do that.
Yes. It's what's really weird is that I want to say, like, because it kind of sounds like with you, Evan, that I want to say, like, your family or, like, very best friends are very. I mean, how were you introduced to wrestling?
I was introduced to wrestling through a friend playing a wrestling video game, and we would all come over to his house and watch him play that game. It was a very early PlayStation 1 game, and I looked at it and I was like, you know what, this might not be too bad. I enjoy playing it. So a few years later, I got our equivalent to cable television, and I was flicking around the channels, and I came across an episode of SmackDown. And I thought it was a bit too cheesy, but then I kept coming back to it, and eventually I got hooked. And I have been a professional wrestling fan ever since. I might have taken a few months off, but
sure.
I have not become part of WWC since 2008, and okay. Every day since I've enjoyed it, because I find that if you ignore a lot of, because I'll be the first to admit, I found WrestleView.com and I thought it was literally the best website where you can go and get analysis from people who know what they're talking about. And I literally have not steered too far away since. So I think if you can find the people with the right opinions and you can look at wrestling for what it is, you can still enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, because believe me, I don't know what professional wrestling is. I'll be perfectly honest.
Well, I am not one to tell you
what it is or not.
No, I think the best analogy anybody can give is professional wrestling is a soap opera.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm a classicist, as in I study Greek and Roman civilization. I'm doing a master's degree now at the moment. And the closest thing I can actually relate it to is Greek tragedy and theater. It's always, it's exactly the same. Demographics there, you have the kids, you have the adults going in and enjoying a show. It's very, very similar. And there has been an article over here in Fine Spirit magazine, I believe, that actually picked up on this team and wrote an article about it. And it's very, very convincing. For what it is. Now, if you take it as a show, as a soap opera, as a bit of theater, then you know, it makes sense. You're like, okay, well, I'm not supposed to criticize every single move this guy makes. You're not supposed to do huge spots that don't make any sense. You're supposed to tell a story.
Yes.
You're supposed to be entertained by it. And I guess
another good description was my ex-girlfriend. Finally, you know, every girlfriend I've had to turn to professional wrestling, and of course they'll look at me with a look of disdain.
Yeah, I get
disgust.
I get that too, Lucky. Did you actually make her sit down and watch wrestling with you? That's
oh sure, oh sure. This was my ex girlfriend that became a humongous Randy Orton fan, and would not watch wrestling unless Randy Orton was on. And I also found out that if Randy Orton was not on television, I was not getting any. So every Monday, if wrestling was on and Randy Orton showed up, I knew it was going to be a good night for all. But her argument for wrestling was basically it is a soap opera, except male soap operas solve their differences and conflicts through violence.
Exactly.
Female soap operas solve their conflicts and differences through sex. And she looked at me and was like, now, which soap opera would you rather want to see? And I kind of looked at her and was like, well, damn, well, which one would be the greater positive for me? Because I can't recall ever watching a female soap opera and not having the great outcomes that the male soap opera has given me.
Exactly.
So I guess I'll just have to stick with wrestling then. But, I mean, that's what it is. It is a male soap opera is what it is. And it's going to be very tough for the internet crowd to understand this. But every other... the majority of professional wrestling fans know that. I want to say they understand the characters. They think that their personalities are real. Okay, that's the big thing, is that they think the personalities are real. If you ever want to, like, you know, get a grasp of why I think Charlotte, North Carolina, and I know that it is the capital of professional wrestling, they embraced kayfabe here. I mean, my God, if there's a professional wrestling show going on in Charlotte and you're a heel, you better have a fresh set of tires to put on your car after the show. They're getting slashed.
Are you serious? Okay.
I mean, they took it way seriously, okay? I mean, we're talking Crockett era, mid-80s, late-80s, early 90s. I mean, it is alive and kicking here. I mean, you mentioned Ric Flair. Oh, some people will yell woo, but they hated that son of a gun. They just hated him. I mean, people like Dusty Rhodes and everything, and you had Magnum T.A. Everyone was Magnum T.A. bonkers until he crashed his Porsche, and then it was woe is him.
Yeah.
But it's whenever you went to a wrestling show in this area, if you are a bad guy, if you are a heel, you better run for the hills after the show. because you are going to get, you're going to get destroyed with beer bottles. Stuff is going to get chucked at you. And that is why I think this area here, they embraced it. It's so great.
You know, that's kind of a good thing and a bad thing as well when you're talking, you know, from what you said. Obviously, you know, people getting attacked or whatever is, or getting their tires slashed is obviously a negative thing.
It's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing, of course, but the fact that somebody would, or people in an entire area would embrace kayfabe so much and can't differentiate or couldn't differentiate between what's obviously a storyline and characters and reality. It's very,
yeah.
Like, here's a story as well. When I was actually at a SmackDown house show, and this is when CM Punk was doing his Savior Jesus-esque kind of thing, and he was cutting promos every week and getting massive amounts of heel heat. When he made his entrance in Dublin, he just walked out and he got in the ring. A fan actually did jump the arena and made a lunge at him. Obviously, my first reaction was, "Oh, this is some kind of work." Then he hit the house. Then he hit the house lights, and Tony Schimmel grabs him and pulls him out to the back. Nothing else was made of it. No, it wasn't referenced. That was it. But to actually see a fan, you know, take it so seriously, to, you know, want to attack CM Punk. Now, of course, CM Punk grabbed him in a body scissors and held him to the ground with Tony Schimmel, took him out. It was bizarre to see. But that's another example of it. That's someone taking it far too serious. You're not understanding, hey, he's a character.
Well, I mean, again, that's why I just consider this area to be the capital of it. I mean, I'm not saying that it's great that people are jumping the fence and trying to get after one of these people's throats. I'm not saying that that is a great thing.
No.
What's the great thing is that you have this mass of people that are just reacting to what they are portraying and just take it in for what it's worth. They're not sitting there with hands underneath their butts and just going, well, I don't know about him. Maybe if he did that body slam a little better. Or, you know, I'm just not sold on him. Who is this guy? It doesn't matter. You know, just cheer or boo or whatever you want, you know. Just stop thinking. I mean, thinking causes aneurysms. Do you want to live? Then stop thinking. Okay. Give them your money to be entertained. That's all I ask for. Let the people like me try to act like blowhards and sound like they know everything. I don't know everything. I really don't. And I'm glad I don't know everything. All I really react to is I love making people laugh. And that's what I love doing.
Well,
and I love doing it on the Twitter. Yeah.
Well, Doug, we're going to round off with one last question.
Sure.
How do you have a very unique style presenting yourself as a wrestling journalist in terms of statistics. What do you bring as a wrestling journalist? You know, I use that term loosely because, you know, we all like to consider ourselves that, but we're fans at the end of the day.
Exactly.
But,
But
in conclusion, how do you present yourself as a wrestling journalist? And what would you like to plug on WrestleView.com? And what makes you unique on that website?
Oh, okay. Well, you see, of course, I've got my column, Reality from Ringside, where basically I will take one item from a week's worth of wrestling news, or I'll take a pay-per-view and just put it under a microscope and just analyze every nook and cranny, but at the same time, giving as less of an opinion as I can. Just purely from the side of a fan that has a very vast memory of stuff. But that's the column. My podcast is sort of an offshoot of it, Reality from Ringside Radio. It's every Tuesday on the WrestleView Radio Network. Basically, everything that I bring to my podcast is based on numbers, on statistics, on empirical evidence, stuff that cannot be argued or refuted. And I never leave some stats out of the way. I bring everything to the table. I am not biased when it comes to numbers. Numbers are never biased, especially with what's coming up right now, the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble, to me, is, dude, that it's my wet dream. I love the Royal Rumble. There are so many numbers and trivial facts and everything that make me sound so smart and dorky. I love it. Especially when I spout out the statistics regarding the people involved in the Royal Rumble, the number of people that are in it, and all these other facts. I love it that I know soon I'm going to read on other professional wrestling news sites that they're going to spout one of my statistics. I know they are, and they're not going to attribute it. And I want to be that ass, bleep that out, to point them and say, hey, that's mine. I'm going to put you a Ric Flair, Jay Lethal type thing. That's my line. You know, something like that.
Well, I assure you, Doug, if any of your stats are used on FromHeadlocksToHeadlines.com, you will be credited, of course. We are not.
Would you like one?
Go ahead. The floor
would
is yours.
Like one? Let me see if I can give you some, maybe some that I haven't even mentioned on the show. Yeah, I'll give you guys some exclusives.
Oh, we like exclusives.
Give you one involving Edge. Edge may or may not be in the Royal Rumble. We don't know. But Edge has appeared in the final four in the past three consecutive Royal Rumble appearances that he's been in. He, in 05 and 07, he was eliminated at number 28, and he was the winner last year. So if he were to be in the Rumble this year, could it be more of the same? That's something to kind of think about. Another one to think about is Hornswoggle. Hornswoggle's been in the Royal Rumble. He has eliminated just as many people as Scott Steiner.
Wow.
But he has done it in one less Royal Rumble appearance than Scott Steiner. Scott Steiner had two appearances. Hornswoggle only had one. So how you like that? Hornswoggle and Scott Steiner are one and the same. Who'd have thunk it?
Amazing.
The numbers don't lie. And they, as you said, Evan, that's amazing. I don't think
absolutely fantastic.
I'll give you one more. I am so high on these numbers. I can't help it. Let me give you JTG. We don't know if JTG is going to be in the Rumble or not, but I would guess that he will be. JTG, he has entered within the first 10 spots of the Royal Rumble, and he has always been one of the first 10 eliminated in every Royal Rumble appearance he's had. In last year, he came in number 4, was eliminated number 3. In 09, he came in number 9 and was eliminated number 7. He has always been one of the first to enter and first to leave. Will he be the same this year? Who knows?
A very good question to pose to the good listeners of From Headlocks to Headlines Radio here on Belfield FM and streaming on FromHeadlocksToHeadlines.com. As I said, the numbers speak for themselves, Doug, and I want to thank you for sharing the exclusive statistics that, you know, you took away from your Reality from Ringside column and radio show, and of course, WrestleView Radio, which you do every Monday and Thursday with Hunter Golden and Adam Martin of WrestleView.com. Is there anything else you'd like to say or, you know, put out there for the good listeners before we wrap up tonight's segment?
Just want to let everyone know, become a WrestleView VIP. Some people are going to hate that I say that, but I don't care. It's only $5 a month. Sacrifice a McDonald's Happy Meal. That's all it is a month.
Well,
and you get to hear me give out numbers. I give out numbers. Other people may make you angry. You get to hear me be drunk on TNA pay-per-views. Also, you get to take part in really cool contests like we have going on right now for the Royal Rumble.
Yes, you do. And I just want to, you know, do a bit of currency conversion for everybody. That's only €3.50 a month.
Oh, wow.
Over here. So, it really doesn't hit the pocket that much over here.
Wow, it's $3.50.
$3.50.
I got to move to Ireland. It's a lot cheaper to live in Ireland.
Well, we are in massive recession at the moment. We're having a bit of money woes.
We're getting a bailout from the
EU.
I would move here if I were you.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking it was either going to be you or Greece. And right now, Greece kind of fell under, so it was looking like Ireland at the time.
Yeah.
Because, I really like your beer and your whiskey. And so I thought it would be a really good idea, but I guess not.
Oh, no. It is a nice country to come over and visit, Doug. But staying over here is probably, you know, iffy, to say the least. Anyone who wants to join the Rest of You Radio Network, the VIP area, you know, it's €3.50, you know, well spent. You're thoroughly entertained. You get to hear Doug. You get to hear Hunter and Adam and Mr. V and David Stevens and all those other guys who do, you know, pretty much every day to give you a show, right?
Oh, absolutely. Every day. Every day you're given a new show. Believe me, there's no wasted time or wasted breath being a VIP. And the cool thing, too, is, I bring this up a lot, if it weren't for the VIPs and if it weren't for you guys, I would not be doing this. And it's stuff that I love doing. I love talking wrestling. I love doing these mountains of research. You can hear the papers in the background. I love doing this stuff. And it is the VIPs and the people who love listening and responding and replying and giving said opinions back that make this so worthwhile. So please become one. Tell me I'm an idiot. I love it.
Well, with that said, we want to, from everybody here and from headlocks2headlines.com, I want to thank you for coming over from WrestleView and giving us a bit of your time, both you, Doug, and Douglas. And even, I believe, Keanu made an appearance here tonight as well. So, with that said, we're going to wrap up the first edition of the Headlocks Hot Seat 40,011 here on from headlocks2headlines.com.
If you're not here, still okay.